discuss governance issues.
Good morning. Thank you, Bronwyn. Well, all of this must be considered under overarching issues of governance and ethical oversight, and the Council makes a number of recommendations in this regard, and we do so against the background of various proposals and suggestions about reform in this area, and we believe that those proposals can be improved upon in light of our recommendations. Let's begin with the current situation. As this audience knows very well, the custodian is responsible for overseeing delivery of the National DNA Database operations, and he's entrusted with maintaining and safeguarding the integrity of the DNA database and developing policy. Until very recently, the custodian unit was under the auspices of the Home Office, but earlier this year moved to the National Policing Improvement Agency. Meanwhile, the DNA Database Strategy Board exists to in a governance role and includes representatives from the Home Office, the Association of Chief Police Officers, and the Association of Police Authorities. And in light of recommendations from the House of Lords Select Committee on Science and Technology and the Human Genetics Commission, it also now includes representatives from the Human Genetics Commission who provide ethical and lay input. Beyond this, there are other bodies or groups that also have input to the current governance arrangements, such as the National DNA Operations Group, which provides a forum for discussion on the operational uses of the database. There's the Home Office Police Standards Unit, which also provides advice on the best uses of the database across various police forces. And we have the DNA Suppliers Group, which supplies information to the board and the custodian on information about standards and strategic developments. What it means is this complicated network has not resulted in a single overarching governance framework within which the DNA database can currently operate. Having said that, and in recognition of this, the government has put forward proposals in terms of a new ethics group to advise on the database itself, as well as the establishment of a regulator to oversee general forensic services. Now, as I indicated before, we have made our recommendations in light of these various developments, all of which have been rather fast-moving. And what we provide on page 95 of our report is our understanding of how this regulatory framework may now emerge. So we can see at the top, under the general auspices, we have the Home Office. And the Home Office is responsible for appointing the regulator with delegated powers from the Home Secretary. And the line responsibility of the regulator goes to the Chief Scientific Advisor. The regulator is in a position to receive advice from a forensic science advisory group, which is made up of various stakeholders within the industry. But the general remit of the regulator, as we can see, is for the approval, licensing, monitoring, influencing, and general enforcement of forensic sciences in general. And part of that we see now, as I've already indicated, the position of the DNA database, which is under the auspices of the National Policing Improvement Agency, governed by the Strategic Board, as I've indicated, and now we've had the establishment of the ethics group to advise thereupon. Our consultation and our own findings suggest that this is not a sufficiently clear or coherent approach to governance. The Royal Commission on Criminal Justice, the House of Lords, and the Human Genetics Commission have all advocated the establishment of an independent oversight body to advise and monitor on the operation of the DNA database, quote, to put beyond doubt that individuals' data are being properly used and protected. Through our consultation, a number of criticisms arose about the current position and what seems to be proposed for the future. Overarchingly, there is a sense of a lack of general transparency about processes, procedures for appointment, lines of communication between the various actors, the powers that they enjoy independently and collectively, and also general operational details. And it's one of our core recommendations that there must be much further transparency in terms of information more generally. In terms of questions of issue of influence and control, it's noted that the regulator is appointed by the Home Office with delegated powers from the Home Secretary and is housed within the Home Office. That the relocation of the custodian units to the NPIA is welcome. It makes the position more directly within the realm of policing, but it still leaves the Home Office in a position of ongoing policy and management responsibilities. In terms of the influence of the regulator upon the DNA database itself, it seems that that role, it will be solely in relation to the limits of the DNA database in terms of assessing its impact on the detection and deterrence of crime and public attitudes towards DNA sampling and profile retention. And there's also general issues about the independence of the ethics group itself, and I'll move on to that in just a second. All of which relates to general concerns about the accountability and lines of responsibility within the proposed framework. Now, my colleagues have spoken earlier about our concerns about certain extended uses of the database, such as non-operational research, as Bronwyn has already said, and retention of information by private providers. And clearly, it seems to be the case that the ethics group could have a significant role to play in this regard from a regulatory perspective. However, at present, it's still very unclear exactly what the remit of that body will be and indeed what its powers will be. The public advertisement for the chair and the members is very unclear as to what exactly the role of the group will be. And if one looks at the 2005-2006 annual report from the DNA database, it states that the strategy board will have discretion over whether or not to act on any advice offered by the group. This suggests, perhaps, that it may have relatively little influence. As a result, we recommend the development of an ethics and governance framework for this group, which will include, among other things, a clear indication of its remit. Is it there to monitor? Is it there to advise? Or to do something additional altogether? What will be the relationship between the group and the strategy board in terms of lines of communication and access of the group to information that is generated by or for the board? We'd like to see more information about the responsibilities of the group for reporting publicly on its activities and also for handling any complaints with respect to the board or with respect to the operation of the database more generally. It's unclear completely what the powers will be. Does this body actually have any teeth, or does it just have a bark in terms of going to the public? And finally, what is the position in terms of maintaining independence from this existing or proposed governance framework? I should state that our report wants to take a more holistic approach to governance more generally of forensic sciences, and while this is a welcome addition in terms of the ethics group for the DNA database, it needs to be considered as well. It should be rolled out for other types of forensic database in the future. Now, Carol mentioned earlier that I would talk about removal of DNA from the database. Now, this audience knows that the position is that one can request removal from the police national computer, including information linked to databases such as IDENT1 and the national database. However, the ACPOL guidance at the moment says that this would only happen in exceptional circumstances and under the discretion of a chief constable. It's our view that the exceptional circumstances criteria for removal are too restrictive, and the chief constable's discretion is far too wide. And earlier, once again, Carol talked about our recommendation that DNA should be removed from the database from people who have not been charged or convicted, unless you're talking about circumstances where there's serious violent or sexual crimes. And she also pointed out we have a recommendation that there should be a presumption in favour of removal for children. In circumstances where those recommendations are not followed, i.e. if the current system of retaining DNA remains, then we would further recommend the following. That there should be public guidelines on how to apply to have records removed in light of clear criteria. That it should be for the police to justify the need for retention and not the need for the individual to explain why they should be removed. And above all of this, there should be an independent body to oversee such requests of people to have their profiles removed. Let's turn then to the international scene. Countries throughout the European Union and beyond are expanding their bioinformation databases, and there are increasing numbers of requests for exchanges between countries. Between 2004 and 2006, around 400 searches were performed on the UK's database in response to questions from overseas. And the European Commission itself has expressed a desire for there to be direct online access to DNA databases across Europe. However, from a legal perspective, the regimes that exist around the Union are not consistent in terms of the attitude towards protection of DNA and genetic data, in terms of collection regimes, the threshold criteria that are applied, and DNA formats vary between countries. So we recommend, therefore, that there should be safeguards in place to protect sensitive information coming from the British DNA database when it is shared or proposed to be shared with other countries. And for example, there should be very good reasons for sharing data, and only the minimum levels of data should be shared. There also exists the Prüm Treaty, which at the moment is a cooperative agreement between 11 member states for exchange of information in the sharing of experiences within the criminal justice system. It's been recently proposed that this could be rolled out for the entire European community, and this was supported by the German presidency of the Union. The House of Lords European Union Committee looked at this proposal and was incredibly strong in its criticisms, not all of which are relevant to this particular Council report. But what we do is endorse the following recommendations from that committee. Namely, that the government should, as a matter of urgency, examine the implications for UK citizens who are currently on the DNA database in terms of how it might operate under the Prüm Treaty if it were extended around the European Union. And the government should insist in the inclusion in the treaty of provisions that ensure that its operations are properly monitored. For example, there should be an obligation on national agencies to produce annual reports, including statistics, on the uses of their powers within the treaty. And there should be an obligation on the European Commission to produce an overall evaluation of the operation of the treaty and a consideration of whether its provisions should be modified. Finally, let's turn back to the UK and consider what is the future here. The current regulatory structure is not on a statutory footing. Indeed, the current legislative framework for the collection and retention of forensic bioinformation is piecemeal, patchy, and extremely confusing. And as I've already suggested, there's a need to think more holistically and to look at future possibilities, not only in terms of the DNA database, but also in terms of future linkages between other forensic databases, such as IDENT1 and those relating to palm prints, etc. What we recommend as a result is that there should be a statutory basis for the regulation of forensic databases and retained biological samples. This framework should establish a clear statement of purpose and specific powers of oversight delegated to an appropriate independent body. And this should include oversight of issues such as research and access that Brahmins touched upon, and also further testing of samples for familial searching or inferring ethnicity. Finally, as I've already indicated, that we believe that there should be a far greater commitment to openness and transparency in respect of all aspects of forensic databases. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, I think we'll now take a break. If you could please be back here by 12 o'clock sharp, and we'll have the open discussion and questions. Coffee is served downstairs.